listening to KNBR, your exclusive home for 49ers play-by-play with Ted Robinson. Now back to Fitz and Brooks.
He owns one of the elite teams in the NFL. Levi's Stadium is a masterpiece. Going to host the Pac-12 championship game, and the Niners season cannot come soon enough. The owner of the 49ers, Jed York, nice enough to join us on the Fitz and Brooks Show. Jed, how are you today?
I'm good. I don't want the season to come. The off season's been so awesome.
Yeah, because I know you guys are looking for some action. It's been so quiet this off season that people hitting each other is what you're looking forward to, huh?
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait.
So much to talk about, so little time. So let's get right to it. The Balky Harbaugh situation, if there was one. Tell us, did you have to mediate? Did those guys sit down and talk? Was there never anything there? What was truly going on with those two, if anything?
I mean, nothing was going on with those two. The Browns were trying to hire a coach. They called me and said, you know, we're interested in hiring Jim. I said, I'm not interested in letting Jim go. And I asked Jim after that, I said, you know, is this something that you pursued, your agent pursued? Is that something that you wanted to do? He's like, Jed, I don't know what you're talking about. I said, great. So that was the end of it. You know, and then the folks that were at that time running the Browns no longer were running the Browns 3 days later. And then you got to hear a bunch of people off the record making accusations and saying what happened and what didn't happen. You know, I mean, obviously Jim's a very talented coach. A lot of people would want him to be their coach. The Browns fired the people that used to run their team. It's fairly easy to figure out what happened there.
Yeah, it is.
But, you know, when you look at Jim and Trent, those guys have always had a good working relationship. I mean, if they didn't, you know, I don't know how our draft this year is going to turn out, you know, when it really matters 2, 3, 4 years from now when you can really assess what it looks like.
Sure looks pretty phenomenal right now.
On paper, it looks pretty good. I think that's been the consensus, you know, from media, which to me, I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing that the media has a consensus that we had a good draft or not. But certainly that's the consensus. Like, those things don't happen without your coach and your general manager being on the same page. And most importantly, your entire scouting department, your entire coaching department working well together.
You know, Jed, I want to ask you about the stadium. I want to ask you about the team. We got to ask about Kaepernick and Vernon and stuff. But I think the toughest thing, and Rod and I have talked about this, and we don't have an answer, and you're the guy that, you know, that has to deal with it, and you're in the position. When you look at Aldon Smith or you look at off-field stuff with your players, you want to have, in the great tradition of the 49ers, the Ronnie Lotts of the Keena Turners, the Patrick Willises of the world, and yet you acknowledge that there may be substance stuff, there may be, you know, gun play or whatever is not cool in any way, shape, or form. How do you deal with the, I want to give people structure and foundation and support them and at the same time have a team with standards and walk that fine line, because there's talent involved and guys that help you win and young kids and immaturity and stupidity and some of that stuff too. It can't be fun being an owner. How do you deal with all that?
You know, I mean, obviously being an owner, that's part of it. And there are guys that you will never hear what some of the issues that they deal with are. And, you know, I think that's a good thing that guys can kind of work through, whether it's substance abuse, whether it's, you know, going from a broken family to now having a lot of exposure and a lot of money and dealing with some of the things that those guys deal with. We deal with that on a, you know, not daily basis, but certainly on a normal basis with players, because there are 53 guys, 8 practice squad players. There's a lot of issues that go on, you know. Unfortunately, some of them become public, and we have to make the decision, you know, do you put up with some of those issues or you don't? And I don't think that we try to sign guys that are going to get into trouble. I think we do a really good job of screening before we draft guys, before we trade for guys, before we bring guys in free agency. But that doesn't mean that there aren't going to be issues. And we need to work with our players to make sure that they have the opportunity to be successful young adults, and give them the opportunity to be successful both on and off the field. And for the most part, we're pretty good at that.
Jed York is nice enough to join us on the Ring Central guest line here on the Fitz and Brooks show. So you have to deal with teams trying to get at your coach, off-field issues that are not fun for anyone, fans, fellow teammates, and the people who run the franchise, and now money. You have to talk to guys about restructuring contracts if you choose to do that, or contract extensions in the case of Colin Kaepernick. I know there's things you can't talk about with that and things you can't talk about with that, but in terms of discussions and getting that going and getting it done before the season starts, can I assume that's a priority?
You know, I don't know which one is a priority. Like, there's a lot of guys that we'd like to extend. You know, there's a lot of things that we're working on. We obviously can't get everything done, but it's always a priority for us to try to get things done before we actually get to the season. Mm-hmm. I think contract negotiations, by and large, are a distraction once you get to the season. And we thankfully have a lot of young guys that have a lot of talent that we'd like to lock up. And, you know, we're working to try to get those guys done.
Jed, how sweet is it to actually, when you go to work, see Levi's Stadium right there and know that a Super Bowl's coming, knowing that you guys, the goal is the Super Bowl, you've been to these NFC title games, to know that you got the Pac-12 championship there, and think of, you know, the 20 or 30 people that it was a community event that you're shaking hands relentlessly to get a ballot passed, to get financing, to get this built, and to see that structure there and know that it's going to exist, you know, for your son and things like that down the road. I mean, that's got to feel pretty good on some days, just driving out Centennial Boulevard and seeing that building.
I mean, it's great to come to work in Santa Clara every day and see Levi's Stadium. I mean, it's been obviously a long, long road to get to where we are, both on and off the field. And, you know, we're proud of the work that we've done. But we aren't finished by any stretch of the imagination. I think you said earlier in your question there that, you know, the NFC Championship game, it's great. Like, we're glad that we've participated in the last 3 years. Like, that's a great thing. It's better than a lot of other clubs. Like, that's not good enough for the San Francisco 49ers. We've always talked about competing for and winning Super Bowl championships, and that's really the only thing that's on our mind as an organization, is winning the Super Bowl. And you know, you don't get to just snap your fingers or, you know, plug in a magic code into a video game and, you know, skip the entire season, the entire playoffs, and go right to the Super Bowl. This is not Mike Tyson punch out where you can go fight the champ. You know, you have to go through that process, and we know a little bit what that process is like, and we know what we need to do to try to finish that process. And, you know, hopefully we can do that this year and a brand new stadium that's going to be a great experience for our fans, not just for Niner games, but, you know, WrestleMania is coming here, the Pac-12 championship, you know, the Fight Hunger Bowl, you've got Cal Oregon playing, hopefully a couple other events that we can announce soon. It's going to be an exciting place to watch sports.
Yeah, I mean, there is no Glass Joe in your division anymore either, so that's the problem.
No.
It's a bunch of king hippos.
Yeah, I mean, is that Bald Bull? I can't get through this. Hey, I mean, a selfish note here. I mean, we're going to get Notre Dame Stanford in that building?
We're working on it, Fitz.
All right, there we go.
I'm trying to work all the angles that we can on both fronts. But I think that game is so important for Stanford at their stadium. Mm-hmm. And I understand that, and I respect that. So if that doesn't happen, I know Stanford has talked about potentially playing a game here. As much as I'd love to see Notre Dame, I understand and respect that that's a pretty important game for them to host at Stanford Stadium.
Yeah. Hey, put your ownership hat on for 1 second here. When you see the Clippers go for $2 billion and you're in the ownership business in sports, is it all TV, Jed? Is it all location? Is it where we're going in 2014? I mean, you know, NFL teams being worth $1 billion is one thing, but $2 billion for an NBA team, it's got to be a seismic shift, I think, in the sports landscape if you're in one of those unique ownership positions.
I don't know if it's just a function of being in Los Angeles. You look at the last two sales of LA teams, they've obviously been very, very large numbers. You know, they've on some level been distressed sales that were sort of put in place by the league, as opposed to a team just saying, okay, we're done, we want to move on. I can't really wrap my head around $2 billion for the Clippers.
Right.
But I think when you see any television deals that are done, whether they're more locally driven from the regional sports networks, or, you know, they're the national deals that you see, you know, whether it's TNT with the NBA and ESPN, or, you know, the NFL's partners, there's only really one bastion of appointment viewing television that's left, that you really know that you're going to get advertisers that want to be a part of that programming, right, and it's live sports.
Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know that that landscape stays like that forever, because if you're seeing more on demand, if you're seeing more, you know, streaming of television shows and content, you know, sports is still going to be a very, very popular, you know, valuable property. But I don't know what the television landscape is going to be like 5 or 10 years from now. And it's just it's mind-boggling to me to see the Clippers go for $2 billion.
Jed York of the Niners joining us on the Ring Central guest line here on KNBR 680, the sports
and
leader.
Obviously Mike Tyson punch-out champ.
Yes.
I mean, that's
yeah,
in our wheelhouse.
All three
I
of us
that.
Geeked out there
real quick, didn't we?
Real quick.
Yeah.
I you know, obviously you running your own team, and as you mentioned, you know, the ins and outs of television, you don't know, but you are in the mix, in the know, and obviously being down there in Silicon Valley, you hear things, you know, as someone who loves the NFL, and I give DirecTV a lot of my money so I can get the NFL Sunday ticket. Can you tell us anything about maybe NFL games being expanded to, you know, let's just say Google, and you can watch them on demand on any device? Have you heard anything about that? And football in LA, is that something the NFL truly desires, or if it happens, it happens, and you guys collectively and obviously individually just don't worry about it?
Well, I mean, going with that one first on L.A., I think the NFL has been fairly successful without having a team in L.A.
Right.
That doesn't mean that L.A. isn't a market that they'd like to expand to, but I think the situation has to be right. You have to have an ownership group that, you know, wants to take on whatever risk that means to build in L.A. I highly doubt that L.A. is going to, you know, build a stadium for free for a team to come in. I mean, that's going to be a very complicated, expensive deal. I certainly think it can work. You know, just me selfishly, you know, I'd love to see, you know, a rekindling of an L.A.-San Francisco rivalry. I think that's always good in sports. I think it's great for the Bay Area and Southern California. It'd be nice for us to not travel as much, you know, but like I can't wave a magic wand and make that happen. And I think it's got to be something that, you know, a team really needs to take the initiative and say, this is really what we want, this is why we want to do it. And I think it can be very successful, but it's got to be the right group of people and somebody that has the right mindset to make that work. Mm-hmm. And you've got AEG that's working on a project. You know, you've got some other people that are working on a project in L.A. And in my gut, I think something will happen. It's going to take time, and it's going to be, you know, a pretty difficult project to get done. But obviously, I think it's worth it. When you're looking at, you know, I don't know specifically who the NFL is talking to about, you know, streaming games and things like that. There's a lot of things that they're working on to get to the next generation of media. And there's just things that I think need to be evaluated. We obviously have some good long-term partnerships with our TV partners, but I don't know what the landscape is going to look like once those TV deals are up.
Technology is going to be a big part of Levi's Stadium, but I'm curious about, and we've talked about this before, but now that the stadium is basically here, it's a reality. In terms of the Niners' history and fans being able to, you know, access that in the stadium to see the Super Bowl trophies, kind of having a Hall of Fame, what can you tell us in terms of fans who are obviously there to watch football, but with the Niners having so much history and fans loving that history, will there be an opportunity for them to kind of see it, touch it, feel it, maybe like they have in Green Bay where they just have a complete and total kind of Packers history museum?
So we will definitely have something that's very similar to that at Levi's Stadium, something that's going to be open, you know, 7 days a week. We wanted to make sure that beyond just the great history and tradition of the 49ers, that we built out, you know, sort of a learning center in the museum, that we can get, you know, school-age kids here so they can, learn some of the STEM subjects and see how it applies to football, see how it applies to constructing a stadium, and see how some of the energy usage, what does it mean to be net neutral to the grid? Like, how does that happen? How did you construct a stadium that was able to use less energy, and you were able to put enough solar panels that are going to allow you to be net neutral to the grid for our home games at Levi Stadium? So there's going to be that sense that there's always something available. We have a great restaurant that will be opening that Michael Mina is putting in that will be right next to the Hall of Fame. We'll have a team store. We'll have studios for, I think, you guys and Comcast to be there to do live interviews and things like that, and have.
And when you say you guys, Jed, it's just the Fitz and Brooks show, right? We have our own studio.
I think
studio,
it's just the Fitz and Brooks show.
There we go.
I think I tried to put that into the contract. I don't know if it's split by. We'll check with Lee Hammer after. But I think it's important for us to make sure that we take our game to the 21st century. Mm-hmm. Get the media where it needs to be, from both a radio presence, from a TV presence, from an online presence, and really have a great stadium experience that our fans can enjoy, not just 10 Sundays a year, but in multiple other events, and really have a building that you can come and see and experience the 49ers, history, present, and even take a look at some of the things that we see that could happen in the future, and really see that at Levi Stadium and make it a 365-day venue.
No, you got to go, but one last thing about the stadium. I love that this bad boy is wired. It's, it looks like a spaceship. It's just going to be crazy with technology, but you kept it old school with the grass field. Thank you so much for not going with field turf. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
The grass looks so good.
Yeah, it does.
I was just there today, and I mean, it's an unbelievable venue. I think we took a lot of, even AT&T Park. I love the open concourses there with baseball stadiums. We took a lot of that baseball feel to make sure that our concourses are open, made sure that our fans are lower and closer to the field. But when you look at the 21st century, it's not about like a one-size-fits-all scoreboard. It's, everybody has their own smartphone. Everybody has a tablet or smart device. How do you make sure that you can personalize a game for 68,000 people? And, I've got two fathers on the phone, one that's a relatively new father. I mean, how much different is your life now than it was before?
Oh, good God.
It's crazy. people could have told you how much different it was going to be, but, you
no
have
concept.
No clue until you're there.
Right.
Now, if you can go to a game and you can, stream shows for your kids and stream, videos and things like that, and they can stay occupied when they're at the game if they can't, mentally take four quarters,
mm-hmm.
or you can start showing your kids, the nuances of the game through – replay that you're going to see in the moment, and be able to show, this is how you get off a block. This is the right way to make a tackle.
Look at Richard Sherman hold Michael Crabtree right here. Look at it.
No, he would never do that.
Hey, Jed, on opening day, you got to do one thing for me, though. So one of the coolest pictures in the Niners is your childhood photos with Mr. D and everything and stuff, and you just see that generational thing. Be sure you take pictures of you and Jax and everybody for the day that stadium's there, so you say, hey, here's your son on that day, so he can see that growing up. I mean, that to me, that's these legacy teams, whether it be the Hallises, whether it be the Crafts now in New England, whether it be the DeBartolos here and the Yorks. Be sure you do that, because that's going to be really a cool thing.
Well, I can't wait. So our ribbon cutting is July 17th. So Jax will definitely be there for that. It'll be a fun event. I'm looking forward to doing that and holding him as we, cut the ribbon and really open this up for the world to see.
Hey, Jed, thanks for being generous with your time, man. Always good talking to you. Rod and I are waiting for our own Fitz and Brooks studio and the personal tour down there, but we'll run into you too soon.
Perfect. Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.